Isaiah 61:3. Who knows that? Come on, there's only 31,000 verses in the Bible. Come on, good morning. He is an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God might be glorified, right? Grace, 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 grace. And that's why we are here today. Richard, is it okay if I stand here?
Sure.
I want to be in the midst of all these saints. I don't want to be up there on the pulpit, if you don't mind. This is my wife, Sarah. I'd like to introduce her. Her claim to fame is that she grew up in Abilene, Kansas, among others. I grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska. We got married, spent the last 35 years in Detroit East. And we feel like we're foreign missionaries. We miss the Midwest and the fact that every time we get back here, it is so much fun to be here. I want to start with a question this morning. Our theme is that others may know God's love. Question I want for you is this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how deep is your conviction that God loves you, values you, and treasures you? Give yourself a number. Okay, I'd like you to turn to someone beside you, share with them the number and why you chose that number. I'm going to give you a couple minutes. Go. Oh, thank you. You don't mind if I do this here? This okay, Richard? Okay, I'm gonna do it right here then. That's good. Okay, I want everybody to do this. I won't start again until everybody shares with somebody, so get going, look around, grab somebody. Okay. If you know that God loves you, you are greatly blessed. To know that the most powerful being in the entire universe who created me, who is the King of Kings, the eternal, glorious one, who never changes, deeply loves and treasures me. Wow, you talk about personal worth. You talk about confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The gospel always begins with God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the son into the world not to condemn the world, that the world might be saved through him. Yes, there's condemnation. Yes, there are those who are going to perish, and we need to proclaim that, but we start with God's love. I'd like you to take a look this morning at Exodus 34. So if you take your Bibles, turn to Exodus 34. I want to show you how the Lord introduced himself to Moses. And I'm sure you've seen this passage again, but I'd like to review it. I've seen this passage before, but I'd like to review it this morning. Exodus 34, 5 through 7. I'll read it in my version, follow along with yours. And the Lord passed before him, or back up, verse 5. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood before Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, and transgression and sin. And there's the but, too. But who by no means clear the guilty. Yes, that's in there. But look where it starts. You can almost hear the Lord's excitement about introducing himself. If I got up here this morning and said, hey, this is who I am. Isn't it neat? You'd probably go, oh, no, wait a second, Danny, you're a human being. But for the Lord to say that, for the Lord to get up there and say, friends, look at who I am. Get to know me. I am life. That is not self-centered. That is love for him because of how much he loves us. To get to know him, to get to know his steadfast love, that word steadfast love is hesed. And I'm not pronouncing it right. It's a Hebrew word, hesed. I can't say the throat guttural sound. But it has to do with God's covenant love for us. I'm going to come back and talk about that several times through these three messages. But his great love for us. But look how he introduces himself. He starts with his love. There's probably three ways that you know that God loves you. I've worked with a lot of people over the years, and it's usually one of these three ways. One is that God has brought someone into your life who has shared God's word with you. And then it's through God's word that you've come to know God's love. Or God has brought someone into your life and you saw their lives, heard their life story, and came to know God's love. Or the third one is that God brought someone into your life who loved you in a way that you've never been loved before. And through that, you've come to know God's love. And that's Chris's story. God brought someone into his life who began to love him, invest in his life, and he came to know God's love. And I'm giving three messages today on those three stories of how people come to know God's love. The first one has to do with Matthew 5:19. Steve, can you put that up on the screen behind us? Where it says, therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who practices them and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The second one is 1 Peter 2:9, which I'm not going to put up right now. But it talks about this idea of how God brought someone into your life and you saw their lives, heard their life story, and came to know God's love. And the third one would be Hosea 6:6. You don't have to write these down. We'll come back to these. But the idea that God brought someone into your life who loved you in a way that you've never been loved before, and you came to know God's love. And what I'm going to do at the end of our time today is ask you to memorize these three verses. This is a Navigators Conference, right? You have to memorize Scripture. You don't have to. It's a good thing to do. But I'll come back and refer to these verses as the day goes on. Now notice the last part of this verse. It says, whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Every so often I'll ask someone, how do you become great in the kingdom of heaven? Usually the response I get is out of Matthew 20, where Jesus says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you must be the, tell me, servant of all. That's usually the answer I get. Notice, though, how in this one, Jesus says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, have God's word, do it, and then teach others to do the same. In other words, pass on God's word to others. And I'm wondering if the greatest way that we can serve others isn't to pass God's word on to them. And anyone, any of us who have been involved in Navigators over the years have seen the potential of that. As we sit down and pass God's word on to others, they come to know God's love, their lives are changed, and they fall in love with Christ. So I wonder if the two don't go hand in hand, because I believe that God gave us his word that we might know him and that we might have fullness of life, both. And they go hand in hand. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path that I might know God and that I might have fullness of life. It's a gift. And so friends, let's pass it on to others. Notice on the bottom here, it says, whoever practices and teaches these commands would be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I want to talk to you for 1 minute about this word teach. I don't want us to stumble over that word. If you read through the New Testament, there's over 20 different words in the New Testament that have to do about getting God's word out. And they're words like teach, or proclaim, or speak, or share, or announce, or impart, or instruct, or admonish. There's over 20 of them, maybe over 30. I went through and kept a list of them one time. And there's 14 different Greek words that are all translated preach. Now, whoever did the King James Version messed that up big time. I love them as brothers in Christ, but they should have had 14 different words on how to get the message out. And they just translated every one of them preach. It's like, whoa, slow down. So if you add those up, there's about 35 different ways to get God's word out that are shared with us in the New Testament. You think one of them might fit you? You think one of them might fit your personality, your gifting, your friendships, the relational networks God's put you in? Yeah. God wants to use every one of us to get his word out. And so when we see that word teach, don't stumble over that. There's many ways to get God's word out, but it's the key thing. Are we sharing God's word? Because through sharing it, that's how people come to know the love of God. I love Psalms 138:2. David says, I have bowed down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness. There's the word hesed again. For you have exalted above everything your name and your word. How can I exalt God's name and how can I exalt his word to those around me? And I think they go hand in hand. We talk about the Lord Jesus, but do we talk about his word? We talk about God, but do we talk about his word? The two go hand in hand. If God exalts his name and his word, how can we exalt God's name and his word? Willow Creek Church in Chicago. I'm sure many of you have heard of this. A big church, big mega church in Chicago has impacted a lot of the body of Christ over the last several years. They hired an outside consulting group about 3 years ago to come in and measure whether or not they were accomplishing the goals that they had for their church to help people grow in their faith, become mature believers. This outside consulting group interviewed 2,000 to 3,000 other members. And when they got all done, they gave them a D-minus grade. Any of you ever got a D-minus? I've got a C-minus a few times. They said, you're not doing what you're out to do. And they said, whoa, we want to help people come to Christ and grow in their faith, and we're doing all this stuff, and it's not doing anything. So they began to look into this. The number one thing that they found out that they weren't doing is they weren't helping their people personally engage in God's word. Come to Sunday morning, get a great sermon, great Sunday school class, but you never had to think. You never had to personally engage in God's word. So they went back and began to teach them how to have a quiet time. Just get in the word, read it, write down a thought, pretty simple. How to memorize scripture, how to listen to the pastor and engage with the word. Friends, are we helping people personally engage with God's word by just sharing with them? And it can be as simple as saying, hey, Richard, you know, this thought from the Bible, it says this. What do you think? It can be that simple. Remember, there's 35 different ways to share God's word, but as we do, they come to know the love of God. But I was a freshman at the University of Nebraska in 1968. I met a fellow student, Steve, was involved with the Navigators, and Steve said to me, Dennis, has anyone ever sat you down, walked you through the Bible, and showed you what it means to have a personal relationship with God? I said, Steve, I haven't the slightest idea what that means. What Steve didn't know is for the 6 months prior, I had really been struggling with life, and I was ready to come to Christ. I didn't know that, but I wanted to know God. Anyone could have led me to Christ that night. But Steve just, he had practiced and he knew how to walk people through the Bible and show them what it means to have a relationship with God. And that night I opened my life, gave my life to Christ, and then the next 2 years, Steve really stuck with me. He discipled me, got me in a Bible study, taught me God's word. The more I got in God's word, the more I fell in love with Christ. It's not rocket science. But Steve had spent the time learning how to do it and was committed to passing the word on to others, and that's how I came to know him. We have a neighbor across the street, 21-year-old young man. His name is Grant. moved in about 10 years ago into our neighborhood with his divorced family, his mom and his stepdad. And another family in our neighborhood had sons who were similar age, the Bowers. They were involved with our community ministry. So they kind of adopted Grant, brought him in the home, and for 10 years, he's been seeing the difference that Christ makes in a life. And they've been sharing the word with him, and the mom, Christine Bauer, they just adopted this young man. And she's kept telling him, Grant, someday you need to open your life to Christ. And then she just keeps sharing the word and keep loving him. Well, about 2 months ago, there's a knock on my door. Grant comes over and he says, Mr. Williams, my life is really messed up. And I need some help. I can't talk to my dad. They're divorced, and he's an alcoholic, and my mom's about ready to kick me out of the house, and Mrs. Bauer's working full-time. Can I talk to you? I need some help. I said, sure. Come on, Grant. Well, this is 10 years of building a relationship with this young man, little by little, sharing the word, loving him, praying for him. So we sat down. He told me a story for about an hour. And I said, Grant, can I share two verses out of the Bible with you that you have to hear at this point in your life? So the first one is John 8:12, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I said, Grant, you are walking in darkness, and until you open your life to the Lord Jesus, you will never have the light of life. And I said, you've seen it in the Bauer family. You've seen it over and over. You've got to open your life to Christ. And I said, the second one is out of Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I said, Grant, up to this point, you've been trusting yourself, right? I said, everybody trusts something. They trust a philosophy, they trust themselves, they trust something. You've been trusting yourself, and you have screwed up your life, right? You just told me that, yeah. I said, you need to open your life to Christ and begin to trust him. I said, would you like to do that right now? He said, no, I wouldn't. I said, okay, that's fine. But remember, Mrs. Bauer has been telling you about this. I'm telling you about this. You've got to do this. Otherwise, everything I try to help you with in the future is going to be in vain. You've got to have Christ at the center of your life. 2 days later, the phone rings. Okay, Mr. Williams, on the way home today from school in the car, I decided to place my faith in Christ. Good deal. I said, go tell Mrs. Bauer. So he runs over there and tells Mrs. Bauer. The whole family's crying, even hugging on him, because they've worked on him for 10 years. All I did is kind of bumped him off the edge. He was already on the edge. They did all the work. He's in a Bible study now. I meet him with him one-on-one, life on life, and boy, has his life changed. In 2 months, he's a new creation. And one of the Bauer boys said to me, the first time I heard that Grant opened his life to Christ, I started to laugh. I said, yeah, right. He's not going to do that. He says, 2 months later, I can't believe the kid. He's a completely different kid. Friends, just because the Bowers were sharing the word with them, and I had a chance kind of right at the end to reap, share the word. That's how people come to know God's love. Roger Vinord, one of our staff in Detroit, has worked 30 years in our ministries, loves to read the word of God with people in the workplace. He does it at 6:30 in the morning. He does it at lunch hour. He invites them out after work. He has a number of workplaces. He heads up our workplace ministry, and he reads the word of God with people. And he has story after story after story of men and women who have come to Christ after about 4 to 6 months of just simply reading the word with people. How simple is that? Any of us can do that. If you are young enough to know how to get on the computer, there's a great ministry called QPlace.com. QPlace.com. Letter Q. Place, PLAC.com. It's the Old Neighborhood Bible Study Fellowship. They are one of the best organizations that I've ran into in helping you learn how to just sit down with people and read the Word of God with them. Their whole website is just loaded with ideas. Friends, get to know a neighbor, a work colleague, invite them to sit down and read the book of John with you and just talk about it. It's so simple, and let God's Word do its work. It's living and powerful. About 15 years ago, I happened to walk into a hair salon, a barbershop, get my hair cut, and there was a random person there. Her name was Joan, and she said, I'll cut your hair. She did a really good job. So I've been going back to her now for the last 15 years. I call it evangelistic haircutting. It took me about 2 or 3 years to win her trust. I just keep asking, how you doing, and you know, how's your family, and anything I can pray for you, and you know, a little bit. She calls me Reverend, and, you know, it's okay, whatever you want. And several years ago, she crossed the line of faith, and it became alive in her. 3 weeks ago, I was in. I said, Joan, how you doing? And now when I go in, it's like, Denny! We sit down and we talk nonstop the whole time she cuts my hair. I disciple her while she cuts my hair. And she said, I'm a little fearful right now. I have this medical procedure. I'm a little scared. And so I shared I must have shared 10 verses with her. I said, Joan, can I share some verses that just encourage me when I'm afraid? Oh, yeah. So I'm sharing verse after verse and interacting with her on them. And when she got done, she said, oh, Denny. She said, I don't know what I would do without my faith in God. She said, when I come to work in the morning, there's a stoplight that when I hit that stoplight, I start to pray. And I pray all the way to work, and I know that God loves me, and it gives me such hope in my life. I don't know what I'd do. So I make sure I give her a big tip all the time. You know, if you're going to be a witness, give a big tip. Okay, that was free. That was free advice. And she gives me a big hug. She just tears in her eyes. I said, thank you. Well, I'm going to keep going to her. 15 years, I'm just going to keep discipling her, keep sharing the word. It's simple. Friends, God's put people like that all around us. Share God's word, and they'll come to know him. Lamentations, one of the verses I shared was Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope that the steadfast love of the Lord, what? Never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's one of the verses I shared. Friends, we need to remember Romans 15:4 says that God has given us his word so that by the steadfastness and encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Think how many people in this world do not have hope. When Fred Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, when he was alive, he spoke at one of the commencements, University of Virginia. And one of the comments he made, he said, the future belongs to those who give it hope. If you come alongside and give someone hope, through sharing your word, sharing God's word, you will win their hearts. Now, all this is predicated on one big assumption. And that big assumption is that you and I are in the word. We know it. We're practicing it so that we can teach it to others. If we're not personally in the Word, how can I pass it on to others? If you've been around the Navigators for any amount of time, you've probably heard the story about Dawson Trotman and Les Spencer. Dawson Trotman took this young sailor, Les Spencer, out one night, and they were talking to others about their faith in Christ. And they were talking to this one man, and he was interested. So Dawson opened the Bible the same way that Steve did with me, walked him through the Scriptures and helped this young man come to Christ. Les Spencer's watching this. And when they got done and they had left, Les made the comment to Dawson. He said, I'd give my right arm to be able to do what you did tonight. And Dawson said, no, you won't. He said, I said I would. He said, no, you won't. He said, I said I would. And Dawson laughed and he said, Spencer, or Les, it won't cost you your right arm, but it'll cost you something. Are you willing to put in the time and effort to get to know God's word so as Dawson Trotman used to say, he can put it to the bow of your mouth and shoot it into someone's heart that they might come to know God's love. It'll cost you something. And I think two of the simplest ways to do it is simply by, number one, having a quiet time each day. You know, I mentioned Roger Vernord, who works with the Navigators in Detroit. He told me several years ago, he said, Denny, I've worked with the Navigators all these years. And he said, I found if I just have a good quiet time every morning, it equips me for about 99% of what I need to minister to others. Read a chapter, write down a thought that encouraged you, pray about it, and share it with somebody that week or that day. It's pretty simple. Several years ago, I went to a two-day workshop on mastering God's Word with a seminary professor from Fuller Seminary. So he has this tremendous presentation for 48 hours that he's giving us, or over a 48-hour period. But the interesting thing is right at the end of the second, or at lunch hour of the second day, right before we spoke, broke for lunch, he said, let me tell you something. So I've been giving you all these ideas on how to master God's word. But he said, If you just have a good quiet time every day, write something down, pray about it, share it with someone else, you'll master God's word. Let's go have lunch. Duh, I paid all this money to come to this course. It's pretty simple, friends. Or scripture memory. The navigators have the topical memory system. I heard a story about one of our navigator staff who visited our director for our ministry in the Netherlands. And when he was there, this gentleman, every morning would take a walk to get some exercise and would take a pile of verses that he had memorized with him and review the verses as he was walking. And when he came back, this gentleman said, "Hey, let me ask you a question. Why do you do that?" And his comment was, "You know, God is using me in the lives of a lot of people. And if I don't know God's word, then he can't use me. But if I know God's word, he uses me over and over and over and over. So I am committed to knowing God's word and practicing it so that I can teach others, so I can pass it on to others." It won't cost you a right arm, but it costs you something. And I'm wondering if this isn't why so many people in the body of Christ aren't being used by God, because they don't know God's word. They're not practicing it themselves, and they're not teaching it to others. So just ask yourself, how well do I know God's word? Let me give you an example. For example, if I were to ask you, do you know five verses, just five, do you know five verses on God's love that you can share with someone who's struggling? Do you know five verses on hope that you could share with someone if they're struggling with hope? Do you know five verses on handling finances, on relationships, on husband, on being a husband or wife or a parent, or on marriage, or on work, or on eternal life, or on processing grief and loss? Do you know just five that you've thought about, you're applying them to your life, and you have them right on the tip of your tongue, that when the situation comes up, you can pass it on? Again, it won't cost you your right arm, but it costs you something. But friends, the greatest joy you can have is to be someone who comes alongside a Chris, comes alongside a Grant, comes alongside of Denny Williams, you know, 40 years ago, shares the word, and then see that person's life changed. It's a privilege, but it costs us a little something to do. When we share God's word, he uses it that others might come to know him and his love. We were at the Billy Graham, how am I doing on time, Steve? 5 minutes, okay. We were at the Billy Graham Center. This summer, Sarah and I are at the Billy Graham Library. And one of the quotes that Billy Graham said that I saw at the library was this: "I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel on every continent of the world, and I have found that when the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented with authority, quoting from the very word of God, it takes that message and drives it supernaturally into the human heart." The way I would rephrase that is that when we share God's word in love, when we share God's love, sharing his words with them, it touches something deep in their heart, it touches a felt need, and they can come to know him. But it comes from sharing his word. And we do it one seed at a time. Just do it one seed at a time, little by little. You've heard the story. Don't dump the truck. Just one seed at a time. Keep sharing thoughts from God's word. Keep people in the word, and they will come to Christ. If you want others to know God's word, God's love, share his word with them. So the first message this morning that I'm giving you has to do with Matthew 5:19. If you want others to know God's love, get to know God's word, live it, and share God's word with others. Matthew 5:19. Okay, I'd like you to take 5 minutes right where you're at. I'm going to give you two personal application questions. I'm going to make you work on this morning. All three messages, I'll have application questions at the end. Sorry, if you don't want to work, ask for your money back. I'm sorry. Okay, are you ready? Here's the first one. How are you doing at getting God's word, getting into the word of God so that you know it yourself, apply it to your life, and that you're ready to share it with others? How are you doing in getting into God's word to know it yourself, apply it to your life, and be ready to share it with others? How are you doing? You don't have to talk to one another's. Think for a minute. How am I doing on that? Listen for the Holy Spirit. Lord, is there anything you want to say to each person in the room in that area today? How are you doing in that? Are you paying the cost to be in the Word, apply it, and be ready to share it with others? Okay, second question. It's right along lines with the first. Would you be willing to make a new commitment today, maybe a new commitment or a renewed commitment or a deeper commitment, to go deeper in God's Word and in your skill and consistency of sharing it with others? Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to make a commitment today, a new commitment, a recommitment, a deeper commitment, to go deeper in God's Word and in your skill and consistency of sharing it with others? Friends, if God tapped you on the heart in either one of those questions today, there's a lot of people in this room who can help you. Get a hold of Richard. He will guide you to someone who can mentor you and help you learn how to go deeper in the Word and how to pass it on to others. There's a lot of help here. Take advantage of it. God wants to use each one of our lives that we would have God's Word, apply it to our lives, teach others or pass it on to others so that they may come to know God's love. Let me pray for us and we'll have our break. Well, Father, I am so thankful for those who have shared God's word with me in my life. Those who did it directly, like Steve, who led me to Christ and discipled me over a couple years. All the pastors I've had, all the friends. And Lord, I want to be one who's consistently sharing God's word with others. And I pray the same for each person in this room, that someday sower and reaper can rejoice together. And that as we stand before your throne, there'd be person after person, generation after generation who've come to Christ through our lives because we were willing to share God's word with them. So again, thanks for this time this morning. Would your spirit continue to flow across this conference, flow in every heart here today, that you would be glorified and we'd come out of here better equipped to be ambassadors for Christ, fishers of men, and more in love with you. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.